What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I think right now Pickett still has the second best chance. I actually kind of think there's a tie between Pickett and Gabriel, which is interesting that then they both have, you know, hamstring issues that are holding them back in this competition.
Oh, wow. See, I at this point, especially with Dylan not playing tonight, I've just taken the same way I think a lot of Shador people have just kind of removed him from that type of, hey, week one possibility. Gabriel, to me, is in that same boat as well. And the only reason why Pickett's on board is because we know that Stefanski likes him so much.
Well, and it feels like Pickett is either going to be the starter week one or he's going to be in Toronto Argonaut in week one.
I would bet more on Argonaut than I would starter week one.
I would also probably at this point. I just think, here's the thing. I continue to come back to the biggest uphill climb for Shador is there's a quarterback of the exact same ilk, meaning a rookie quarterback, that was drafted above him. And this isn't even about draft positioning, though. It is about, like, the NFL, humans in the NFL are so biased, just like you are at your job. You have people you love and then people you tolerate. I don't think Kevin Stefanski was behind the drafting of Shador Sanders, and I think to Kevin Stefanski, that matters.
Right, but at least Shador is playing. Like, the difference here right now, and I think why it's so important tonight, is that at least he's playing. And until we can see Dylan Gabriel actually get out there, that is the leg up that Shador has right now.
But the only thing I would say is, like, Dylan is... I would imagine next week's about Dylan. As long as he's healthy enough, I mean, he was healthy enough to practice in the joint practices.
And I want to see it, by the way.
So, and I do too, but I think my point is, like, there's always going to be a guy who's your same type, but that's more favored. I mean, there's another rookie quarterback, and I favor him more.
You can always fall out of favor if he has his 3-for-14 performance and then turns that into an actual 11-on-11 game against the Eagles next week.
I would respond, I don't know about that. And again, I'm not trying to make it seem like Kevin Stefanski is some sort of, you know, Manchurian candidate manipulator, but, you know, coaches, offensive coordinating head coaches are really particular about who runs their scheme. And granted, if you're Andy Reid, you get to a point where you've morphed your scheme so many different times, it looks nothing like what you did in Philly in 1999.
Stefanski last night, by the way, I don't know how much of the coaches show you happened to catch.
All of it.
All of it? So you heard him talk the way I'm going to tell you right now. He was talking about how they got Snoop Huntley back, and he's like, yeah, I love Snoop. Oh, by the way, was not shy about praising Snoop Huntley. Like, I've never heard him. You talked about for months about how he talked about Dylan Gabriel. That's how we talked about Snoop Huntley. But he's like, yeah, so Snoop knows the offense because he was here last year, but this offense is totally different. But he'll catch up in time, but this is a totally different offense than what he had last year to deal with. Like, he tried stressing the importance of how different of an offense they've tried to make this thing, because last year had a lot of Ken Dorsey on it.
Yeah, which by the way, I believe. If he said it's drastically different from the 2023 offense, I would not believe
him. No, just last year, because Snoop was only here last year throughout that little stretch, and it was, I mean, I'm telling you, you thought he had Goo Goo Gaga eyes over Dylan Gabriel. That was a clinic on how much he loves Snoop Huntley last night.
You can't give me Goo Goo Gaga.
I got to find this audio now playing for you.
And then not go for me to go Goo Goo Gaga Gabriel. You know, I like a good dismissive nickname as much as the next guy, and I will do that if you allow me to weaponize it.
He won't even answer questions about Shador straight on, but when it came to Snoop Huntley, it was as if there's no other quarterback on the face of the earth.
He's a Pro Bowler.
It was incredible, yeah. The love he showed for him.
But I think, okay, so, you know, this show specifically, even though everybody's talked about Shador the same amount, is accused of being so ridiculously pro-Shador. And what I will tell you is...
People conflate it, by the way, because they know that I love Shador and you're Switzerland, but then you bring in segments calling it the Super Bowl, and I think they might get the wrong messaging there.
They might. Well, yeah, because it's your Super Bowl. It's not mine.
I know, but that's the branding.
It's my preseason game.
The branding on that, okay. You know, yeah.
I can't help. I'm a great brander.
They're like, geez, Jonathan just talked about it this being the Super Bowl all day. It's like, no, I didn't.
That's exactly what he's done.
Jonathan tried to get Daniel Olafusi to laugh at your Super Bowl twice in an interview. No, I didn't.
By the way, he wanted to. He really wanted to. Yeah, he did.
But one day we'll have him on and he'll break.
But he's a serious journalist.
Daniel Olafusi, ESPN.
All right, but here's the thing. Tonight, I'm going into the game with an open mind. And if next week is Dylan's game, I'm going to be going in with an open mind. And I do have opinions on Dylan Gabriel, having watched him since 1917 play quarterback in college football.
Mm-hmm.
Much the same way I had reservations about Shador being the number two pick in the draft versus being the pick 155 or whatever it was in the fifth round. And by the way, I have incredible reservations. I have zero belief in Kenny Pickett, but I'm keeping an open mind that in this system, I can be wrong. And the reality is, I do think that's where I think a lot of people have closed up their mind on this quarterback search far too early based off the first 2 weeks of camp, when there's, I think, still at least two more weeks here of time for anybody to grab it if, and this is the biggest if the Browns are willing to be open to that idea. I know they are with Dylan. I know they are with Kenny Pickett. I know they are with Joe Flacco. I still don't know if they are with Shador, though.
I mean, I guess we'll see how many people play in the joint practices against the Eagles, because that'll go a long way. And really, you don't need to play every preseason game for this all to matter. It's why I tried making the case for Kenny Pickett earlier in the week. Like, if he's going to play in the joint practice, if he'll play in the preseason game, then he can hit the ground running. But the time's running out. Between Dylan Gabriel and Kenny Pickett, like, we got to actually see them play. We got to see them get out there. And I know they did a little bit in the joint practices, but you know what I'm talking about.
Well, but I mean, I think that's what, you know, tonight
like
is
Joe
about.
Joe Flacco's winning this not because he's done anything crazy. He's winning this because he's shown up every day and been healthy.
Well, and Dylan Gabriel hasn't, and Kenny Pickett hasn't, and Shador hasn't been given the chance. And so, and that maybe is another way to look at this. Like, I'm open-minded about tonight and next week and the third preseason game, but I don't. Like, this might be Shador's chance. And
oh, for sure it is.
So I think what the reality of what, like, I struggle with tonight is, what is this opportunity really? Is this an opportunity for him to battle to become the backup? You know, like, how good does he have to be to even get into that conversation? Is this more about what happens in October, November, and December if this team starts out 1-6 or 1-7 or something like that? So there's a, and again, it's unknown. I don't know that Kevin won't give him a chance, right?
Yeah.
But I just understand the complicating factor of having Dylan Gabriel ahead of you, who I think is a rookie that Kevin Stefanski is more in on right now. That's where I'm like, okay, does this last you a day inside the building? Because here's the thing. Everyone always says, like, the Browns aren't sabotaging. The Browns want him to succeed. Do you understand how many people make up the Browns?
Yeah, it's a lot of people and it's a lot of voices.
And by the way, it's a lot of opinions.
Yeah.
And the most important opinion in the quarterback room is Kevin Stefanski. And I don't think Kevin is a nefarious guy at all. I really don't. I've had my reservations about him. I've spoken on him. That's not what today's about. It's not what the next little bit's about. But, like, specific to this, like, Kevin has shown a little bit of something that Tito Francona has shown, which is, you're my guy, you're not my guy yet. And with Tito, you never knew when a young rookie player was going to become his guy. When all of a sudden a Nolan Jones would become his Michael Martinez, which, by the way, Nolan never did and was traded summarily.
No, but it was obvious, though, when he had, like, guys like Josh Tomlin that he played cards with, and then Tomlin kept being given opportunities. Like, it was very obvious in many ways. But you can get away with that in baseball. It's a little bit different, obviously, when we were talking quarterbacks.
Oh, I think cronyism is just as rampant in football. Well,
cronyism matters, obviously, but is Stefanski, if he's approaching this as if he can just kind of throw out the people that he's got biases for, the people that he wants to be buddies with instead of the people that are going to win him games or save his job, then he's got another thing coming.
Well, but here's the thing. It's not. It sounds like I'm making it about Kevin. Every West Coast head coach I ever remember was like, I think Jim Druckenmiller is going to be the next Steve Young. Like, part of this is founded in a, I see something in you and I believe in you. And that is at the kernel of coaching. And the idea that every coach looks at every player and sees the same thing or sees it's.
Yeah, but I think we have enough time.
Just you and me. Like, there are guys in the station where I'm like, that's my guy.
Right.
And I like, Anthony Lant worked here for 2 days, and I was like, oh, the milkman's my dude. That's
right, but
like,
here's the difference,
same
though.
Same with
Weegelini. So we like Anthony. We like the big Weege, all these guys, right? But if I'm going to make a fictitious person because I don't want to put anyone's name on it. Let's say we had a guy named Joe that we both were like, dude, Joe's awesome. Joe's great. And then I listened to Joe like 3 different times, and I thought there really was something there. But then for 7 straight times, I'm like, you could have got a guy to do Drunk Off the Street, a better radio show than this. What is going on with this guy? He's lost it. I thought I had something here. I don't have something. And I do wonder if Dylan Gabriel, and the way that the last week went, and the idea that he's not even playing tonight, you can lose people. As quickly as you've gotten a buy into them, you can lose people.
I would be shocked.
The amount of people you've heard me talk about that are young at the station, that I'm like, I think they're great. And then after a little bit, I'm like, you know what? I want to retract that. I want to take that one back.
And then I bought the stock just
and
because, you
know. Buy the
you
stock.
You got to play it.
Someone's got to buy the stock. But well, like but I mean, that's how this should work. He should be flexible. And if you see people vomiting all over their shoes in the practice and not doing a good job, and then okay, change your mind, get something different in here.
I would be surprised if Kevin's there yet, and maybe that is what tonight's about. But that's like the number. If Kevin really wanted to surprise me, and again, it's not about Kevin. This is how NFL coaches think, and coaches in general think. There is a tribalized nature to what you do and what you define as a football player and who you gravitate towards and who you think fits what you do and what you want them to do. If Kevin's approaching this with an open mind tonight, that to me would impress me quite a bit. But in fairness, my problem this whole time has been I think Shador's the only guy he hasn't had an open mind with. And all the other 3 guys are, and I don't see a distinction between any of these 4 quarterbacks.
But if he was really that closed at this point, then Snoop Huntley would be getting a lot of wasted reps tonight. Like, he's at least giving them the opportunity, and now this is where Shador gets to step up. And I do think it matters. I know, obviously, the Browns have signaled the message that it doesn't matter and they care about the joint practices more. But for the amount of people that watched Tanner McKee last night and the amount of discourse attached to that after that performance.
Don't forget about Trey Lance. Your boy.
I mean, I'll gladly forget about Trey Lance.
Nope. You were part of the Trey Lance hive.
How am I a part of the Trey Lance
hive?
He hasn't had a lot of opportunities. Is the point with Trey Lance? But like Tanner McKee last night, I woke up to people discussing online about the idea that the reason why the Browns had to trade for Kenny Pickett is because Howie Roseman would have said Tanner McKee was a non-starter in those discussions. It was like, wait a second, Tanner McKee's a non-starter? And they're like, yeah, as evidenced by what happened last night. They clearly love him. They see something in him. And it's like, okay, fine. But like these preseason games, you can laugh about them. You can say they don't matter. But last night, a lot of people were talking about Tanner McKee and throwing all sorts of shade in the same respect as a guy like Ashton Jeanty.
Are you going into tonight with an open mind? If you are a Shahader, or if you are also Switzerland, are you going into tonight, not just with Shador, but with kind of anybody you might be detracting on the Browns, but specific to Shador, because I'm going to reel it back there. Are you going into tonight with an open mind and big praise for Stephen Vogt in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan? Guardians do have a 3-game set against the White Sox, and that's actually kind of cool how it breaks down because you got 3 away against the White Sox, and then you come home next week, and it's Miami. Very winnable series. And then Atlanta, which I think I'm a little
all the shade for Miami these days. Ken said a very similar comment as well. That's a 500 ball club Miami is right now.
You're better than Miami. Fair.
They're better than Miami, but like Miami is.
They just traded Jesus Sanchez for nothing. Not nothing, but for, you know.
Clayton McCullough is probably going to win manager of the year. He makes our manager list, by the way. Our top 9 manager. what are we calling this? Manager performances this year is how Greg Amsinger labeled it. It's a 500 team right now. They've surprised a lot of people.
Well, you've mentioned it. MLB Network and Greg Amsinger had the 9 best managerial performances this year.
Yeah, I don't know why he only did 9, but he did 9. And he said, so it's just, that might be the truth of it. And it's just off of this season and this season alone. And so what I love about that is it takes nothing about last year into the equation. It's just for this year. And the idea that Vogt came in at number 9. And like, if I were to ask you who is at the top of the list, you probably have some of the same names that Greg had.
Aaron Boone.
Yeah, Aaron Boone's not on this list. Pat Murphy's number 2. People absolutely love him. Joe Espada, the Astros manager, is number 1. They had 14 players on the injured list. They have 7 starting pitchers that have gotten injured. Like, you can see the roadmap. A.J. Hinch is number 3. There's a lot of reasons for why A.J. Hinch should be at the top of this list or near the top of this list. But Stephen Vogt, I thought, was interesting because if we were to ask you guys whether or not you think he's been underappreciated, I think most people would go back to, like, me yelling about what happened after the no-hitter was already broken up the other day. But you'd yell about a lot of platoon splits. You'd yell about a lot of in-game decisions that you maybe didn't agree with. But I thought was interesting was that Greg gave him a lot of credit for getting past the gambling situation and then being able to go ahead and get this thing turned around after the 10-game losing streak. And it does make you wonder whether we've been just a little bit too rough when it comes to talking about Stephen Vogt after everything that he's gone through.
I mean, listen, I think the hometown fans and media are always a little extra rough on coaches and managers because it's the familiarity of it. Like, you watch everything they do.
Yeah.
And also in a game like baseball, I know baseball has changed and the numbers have changed a lot of the conversations. There's nothing more popular to do in baseball than second guess the manager, second guess
the
team.
It's a good point by you. In most cities, most not all, when it comes to did they make the right choice with the relievers and bullpen situations, most managers fail that test.
So
most fan bases just yell endlessly because you can always mess that up in a season.
Sorry, I keep saying so and interrupting you. So there is a part of me that just thinks about this. And it's like, yeah, I'm willing to open up to the idea that we're probably a little more abrasive on Steven than maybe he deserves. I would also say, though, like the things that drive fans crazy, specific, one way or the other, over-managing, which Steven has done a fair amount of, or bullpen mishandling, like meaning leaving your starter out there and then not sending out, not having somebody warming up in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Those are things that, like, no offense to Greg's not paying attention to in every game.
So this is where I kind of feel like, in an interesting way, Vogt has the Kevin Stefanski treatment happening right now. Mm-hmm. Stefanski, across the nation, every person that we bring on from a national perspective only speaks glowingly about Stefanski, and they're not watching every play the way that we are. And I think that it applies the same way here with Stephen Vogt. If you talk to people locally, I don't know anybody would say he's made a massive step forward relative to last year. I think most people would make the suggestion he's made a couple steps backwards.
I would also say that the difference between the MLB Network and the NFL, Major League Baseball media, the national media, and the national media in football is the media loves coaches until there's a rough spot. And the national media has no problem being like, this coach hasn't figured out where it is in baseball. It's very rare that I ever hear any national media criticism of managers from like MLB Network or even like CBS Sports, because it's just the conversations change so much on how much does a matter a manager matter anyways.
You do, but you only get it right before they're about to be fired for the most part, and that's because everyone knows that they're going to be fired. That's what makes John Schneider, what's going on in Toronto right now, so fascinating, is that he was dead man walking a month and a half ago, and everyone was speaking as such, and when the baseball media starts to speak as such, it's because they know it's coming, and then he dead cat bounced, and now all of a sudden, he's one of the best managers this season.
Well, in specific to Steven, I do think we should be giving him a lot of credit for this team pulling the nose up on this thing after the 10-game losing streak. During that losing streak, he was making decisions that were actively hurting them in games. And it's one thing for you to be making those decisions, them not work out when the team's winning. When you're losing, that really complicates things inside a clubhouse. So them bouncing back to the way they did suggests he never was in danger of losing them. That's hard. Like that's a bigger test than you were great for 90 games and then you had 40 bad games and you bounced back and all of a sudden you went to the ALCS. Like, his job this year was 10 times harder than last.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Last year's was, so by virtue of stopping the bleeding after the 10-game losing streak and erasing that, yeah, I think that's a hell of an accomplishment, even if he still annoys me from game to game.
Yeah, I mean, his endless optimism was bothering the living daylights out of me in that 10-game losing streak. You'd have moments where he would talk about the offense being right there as they scored 15 runs in 10 games, and you'd be like, shut up, man. Like, this isn't it. This isn't what you want to be saying. And it worked. In many ways, it worked. Well, by not just giving up on the season. And like, it's not just that, obviously. It's going through the idea that you almost trade Kwan to not trade Kwan. You go through what happened with Ortiz and Class A. Like, this team has had a lot of hurdles that you just don't typically see in a baseball season.
Well, and here's the other thing. Vogt has the opposite problem of Tito. When the guards would be going through a bad spot, the big criticism of Tito was he undermanaged, you know, like... he just fell back on, nah, I like Brian Shaw, so he's going to get this minute, right? He's going to get this high leverage thing. Yeah. Or, hey, there was a pivotal moment where if you make this decision, you give the team a better chance to win, and Tito wouldn't
school.
Do it.
His relieving situations wasn't great. He would bunt in times. You should never bunt, but he would bunt often. Like, there was a lot of things with Tito, but he had a bigger plan.
But I would say, like, I think Stephen Vogt in one game, in terms of in-game decisions, does more in one game than Tito would do in a full week.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, he almost goes in a complete opposite direction yeah. of Tito when we talk about that. And you know what? And sometimes it's refreshing. Sometimes it is. You're like, all right, good. I like that he's active. I like that he's doing things. But other times, it's just... I think that's where fans get mad here is because it just seems like this year he's not pulled a lot of the right levers.
Yeah, this is always the catch-22 that happens with managers who are accused of overmanaging, which I have accused him of doing. I think you've accused him. I know Ken has accused him of doing. The reality is, if you're going to be one or the other extreme, I'd rather you overmanage. I'd rather you actually like have a hand on the lever at any given moment and trying to give your guys an extra. And I think young players like that. I think young players like to have a manager who's being aggressive. At the same point, you can't deny that then it makes something where he just freezes, like with Slade Ciccone, three starts ago in the ninth inning, or Gavin Williams in the no-hitter, where he just didn't have somebody up. That's well, like that's there the simplest comment. Thought going into that inning that like an over-manager should have.
Well, so sometimes he just seems like he gets caught with his pants down. And there's a perfect example for this because I heard Vogt in that post-game interview after the no-hitter that didn't happen and it got broken up. And he said, and forgive me, I don't know if he said the sixth or seventh, but I'm pretty sure it was the seventh inning. He said it was the first time he realized that a no-hitter was happening.
Mm-hmm.
I get it if you're watching the game with a hot dog and a beer in your hand and that's your reaction. That, oh, I didn't understand a no-hitter was happening. You're the manager of the baseball team. Like this, you're supposed to know everything that's going on in this situation. You're not supposed to be dead sitting there in the clubhouse, not understanding what's happening. Like you have to find a way to be able to, in those moments, understand what exactly is going on and think about every single angle. And that's why everyone's like, oh, it was superstitious that he didn't have anyone up in the bullpen. Was it superstitious, or was they just thought about these things way too late? Like you have to be thinking seven moves ahead constantly in a baseball game. You can't treat it the same way as the guy having a beer and a hot dog in the stands.
Well, and you can't be the guy that's an over manager and then get caught with your pants down.
I mean, it doesn't
like Tito,
it makes no
Tito
sense.
Could, because that was par for the course with Hoochie. But now again, I will go back to it. I do think Amsinger is right in the heart of it that yeah, from day to day, minute to minute, we're overly critical. I would also say I think the lack of attention to detail from like the national conversation around managers misses the point on Stephen Vogt as well.
But where he's going to get a lot of credit, though, is that he has been able to maneuver through the massive potholes. And I think that's where you're always going to get the big-time credit. And this is where maybe I need to give him a little bit more credit. When you're able to go through the big situations and not have it completely derail you. Because there are a lot of skippers out there, a lot of teams in general out there. In the three different instances we keep bringing up of major potholes that they've been able to escape, one of them would have got him.
Yeah, and listen, there's a part of me that thinks Steven is graced with a lot of good favor and goodwill because he was in the ALCS last year, and because the first year that he took over the Guardians after Terry Francona, a guy who is beloved around Cleveland, is beloved around baseball. The Tito detractors were a very vocal minority on Twitter and maybe one or two hosts in Cleveland. Like, specific to this, though, like, the team got dramatically better after Tito left and Steven took over.
Yeah, you never want to be the guy that follows the guy, but he's done it and he's done it well.
But there's a weird thing that happens with how managers are covered. And some of this kind of rolls right up to the front office as well, that once a guy passed, it's like the Titoism. Once a guy passed Tito's imaginary test, he was a Tito guy. And there was no getting out of that.
Mm-hmm.
You had an uphill climb. You didn't know how to do it. And a fair amount of guys didn't end up becoming Tito guys. And so they weren't here long. That's the same thing with like managers in baseball. Like Steven, after last year, was anointed. He got the manager of the year. He was in the ALCS. And if you have criticisms of him from here, it's going to be an uphill battle because people are going to say he was the manager of the year. Well, you had him in the ALCS. That's probably not right, by the way. Like, he had a great first year as a manager. A lot of things went right. But this year is going to be a hell of a lot more telling. And by the way, we're on the upswing here positively with Steven.
Yeah.
Well, you got about 50 games where you can piddle that away as well.
Oh, for sure. I mean, if they go 10 games under 500 and do what the Twins did last year down the stretch, then you're just going to completely wipe away all the good graces.
216-474-0092. Steven Vogt was named by Greg Amsinger of MLB Network is one of the top nine managerial performances.
We already do top nine list now.
I know. Nine innings. Nine guys in the field.
There we go. Now we're playing with fire.
Yeah.
Amsinger's my guy. I love that MLB Network.
Should we be giving Steven Vogt more credit for the Guardians' success this year? I think that's a fair thing to say. I also think this is kind of how it goes in with managers in like local markets. You're more critical of the coaches you see every day versus the guys who maybe don't see him every day. And Geno Smith's return to Seattle last night, it was not going the way anyone thought it would. Still went pretty funnily. That's coming up in Quick Hits in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angels, Angels,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry, hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
All right, Geno Smith's return to Seattle last night in preseason game number one for the Raiders. And a little surprised how it went. Geno was showered with booze. He saw a sign saying, bigger bust, Jamarcus or Geno, to which he flipped the double birds. What is a bigger Jamoke move? Booing Geno Smith, who kind of bailed your franchise out with a whole disastrous Russ Wilson ending to that. So booing him in his return, or Geno letting the birds soar?
What an interesting night for them, right? Because then you have Pete Carroll back in the house as well. And there's a lot of emotions there for Seahawks fans.
It's weird. I have such a reverence for Seahawks fans and the 12th man. And it is real. Like, that is
a very town, wild place.
That town is crazy about the Seahawks. But it was just so out of line. Like, Geno Smith had a really nice, 4 or 5 year run there.
Yeah.
He did. Like, he saved you from going all the way in the tank. And, I mean, it was the Seahawks that didn't want to pay him. It was just a business breakup.
Well, and so that's the problem I have with it. It's not as if the Seahawks didn't have an option to pay him. And then they went and moved on and tried to get, you know, Sam Darnold as an upgrade, which I think maybe that's what it is Seahawks fans know that there's no way Sam Darnold's going to work out in Seattle.
Oh, it's like when the other person wins the divorce.
Yeah.
Like, when you're like, okay, you know, I've got a new significant other. They're
fine. They look around. Like, it's Geno, it's Pete Carroll. Genty looked miserable last night in the three carries. They have, like, basically a peewee offensive line. It's not going to go well for him as of right now. It'll change. It'll turn around when they get real action going on. But, like, there's positive momentum in what's going on with the Raiders. Meanwhile, the Seahawks had a pretty good year last year, all things considered, and don't have much of a likelihood of even coming close to repeating that, and that wasn't even really that spectacular.
I'm still a little... Okay, so I think it's booing Geno. I think that was pretty classless from a very classy fan base. What I will say is, Geno, you got the paper. Buddy, you're going to... For a guy who didn't start till I think he was 30, you're going to walk away from the NFL making upwards of... I'm trying to look at the actual numbers here. By the time, if you retire after this next contract, he will have made something like $100 million. Yeah, $173 million for a guy who didn't start until 2020.
It's just odd. Would Baker get booed if he came back and played the Browns in Cleveland Browns Stadium?
No, I think the Browns would get booed.
Is that what it is?
Right now?
They just announce and just say, it's just like, we're not booing you, Baker. We're booing Haslam. And everyone just turns to Haslam's box and just boos him. I'm trying to think of ways where
there
like,
would be double birds, though.
Where you leave, it's not really your fault, though. And when it's not really your fault, doesn't the fan base, like, they just kind of have to respect that?
I would think so, but they did not in Seattle.
Mm.
He didn't, and by the way, I don't recall him dogging...
No, like not in the way out.
The Hawks.
No.
The organization.
I didn't hear that either.
I think he was like disappointed they couldn't, you know, give him the money that he wanted. I think he got like 2 years, $75 million extension.
Was it three for $100
million? So it's all together the last year on his deal.
Oh, counting
plus,
the last year? Got it. Okay, yeah. That's a good amount of money for him.
Omaha!
All right, the Bengals and Joe Burrow said after the game last night he can see room for improvement after the preseason opener. He's just obviously he's got to be toying with the idea that he looked nearly flawless last night in that game.
Yeah, and by the way, he should hope that there's room for improvement with the defense.
I do love when players do that, though, when you have like the almost perfect game and you're just like, yeah, so there's things we can get better on. We got to, you know, clean it up here before it gets underway. It's like, all right, Joe.
I think Joe's addicted to being miserable.
Oh, really?
I think he is. I think he's that guy who great is never good enough. I mean, you saw it. Like, when they won the game, was that the Ravens game? It was a game where he just threw an absolute baby temper tantrum and said, we suck, we're awful after a win. And Zach Taylor was
he's
like,
done that a couple times.
Hey, we won there, kid. Like, enjoy this. I think Joe's the guy who's the quintessential great is never good enough. And I cannot imagine being around those people.
You know what he is? He's the person that on Twitter, when the Guardians are getting bashed, are like, hey, there's some positives here. But when the Guardians are like sunshine and rainbows and everyone's talking great about him, that's when they'll cut him down to the knees. That might be Joe Burrow as a football player.
Or when they lose, they stink
never,
and they're terrible.
You never ride the highs, but you also never ride the lows.
I don't know. He's kind of a weird knob. He's a great football player.
He is weird. Once he started opening himself up more, we've just learned he is a lot weirder than we all thought or knew.
Like, he's got a special room that's in his house. Nobody knows what it's for. You don't want to know what it's for. But if you found out, it could be anime. It could be a dungeon for lust. I don't know. It could be anywhere in between. It could be an anime dungeon for lust. I don't know. I'm just telling you, there's a room in his house. It's got a lock and key on it.
Giamatti and Billions?
And there's something goes in there that if you found out what happens in that room, you'd be like, kind of makes sense now. But we don't kink shame, so that's not what I'm doing.
We don't kink shame.
Yeah, that's not this
show. We're just good with whatever you enjoy, you enjoy.
Yeah.
I do want to know how much money you have to have a room designated for such a thing.
I don't think you have to have that much money. I think you just have to be really into something that you don't want people to know.
You have to have enough rooms that someone can't accidentally be like, hey, I wandered into that room.
All right, listen.
Like Joe Burrow probably has like 30 rooms in his house, so you're never going to be able to go in or want to even see all of them. If you're in a house like my house, I got like 8 rooms.
Here's the thing. I got 5 bedrooms.
You're
going to
want to explore all. You're going to explore all the rooms.
I got 5 bedrooms in my house.
I can't hide a dungeon if I wanted to.
I only need 4 bedrooms, so I could theoretically.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Have that 5th bedroom. The problem is, it's pretty normal. I'm like embarrassing vanilla. Like that's not good. I don't need the room for that.
It's a great name for a band.
I got like
embarrassing vanilla.
Got like an electronic drum set in it though.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's an electronic drum set.
Not for me, for the kids.
Oh okay.
You can touch the drum set.
Okay, yeah.
Omaha.
The sports reporters return to ESPN's YouTube, and I already made fun of.
We get day 2 of the sports reporters.
Yeah, we do. Yeah,
nobody cares about the sports reporters.
Exactly. But Shams Charania of ESPN shared the complications of his approach to his job.
I've had to walk out on dates. Like I've had to walk out on like social events. My friends don't really like me. You know, that's why it's very hard to have a consistent relationship because it's just like, you know, the time that requires and you know, the time that they deserve rightfully. And there are just moments where I'm just always going to choose this as of right now.
So, one of my favorite things was when Woj was talking about the hardships of his job and really trying to make it be like, I couldn't even shower without having my cell phone. And then Bill Simmons just went to town about what a ridiculous take that is. It's like, great, you chose a job. This is your job. You signed up for it. No crocodile tears for you.
Jeremy Schapp looked borderline excited. Like, he was, like, doing, like, the slow, like, yeah. Tell me about how unavailable you are as a person.
I also don't believe Passan's this unavailable either, by the way.
No, there's nothing there. I believe that is a blank slate of humanity.
I believe Shams is that way. I also believe Schefter. Yeah. Schefter's that way. For sure Schefter's that way. I really don't think Passan's that way.
I'll just say this.
There's not enough breaking baseball news that happens. I mean, he's good at what he does, but there just isn't.
I no longer respect your workaholic tendencies. And that is somebody who's trying to reform himself as a workaholic. All right? It's not cute. It's not funny. You live once. Stop being so much. There's no amount of money that ESPN's going to pay you that is worth 20 years of living like this. There is no grind that is worth it. I guarantee you there are times where LeBron James himself doubts the amount of work that he has to do because of how it takes him away from everything else. Be a human. And I just, every time I hear one of these nerds, like in service of all you do is sniff the ass of every agent, executive, owner in football. That's your life. Like if you're dedicated, okay, LeBron, I get. You're like, you work out every day, every moment of every day to be the best player on the planet. That I get. But you just, well, you just fluff agents better than anybody else?
LeBron also has an end goal, too. He can be like, all right, I'm doing this till I'm 45, let's say. And that's a long, long time for an NBA player. And then you don't have to do anything for the rest of your life if you don't want
to. It's just the saddest commentary on how to, man, my fans don't even like me. I don't like you. You sound like a clown. Like, grow up, man.
I'm sure his friends like him just fine,
oh,
too.
I guarantee you.
I think what they love is telling people how hard they work.
I guarantee you they used to like him.
No, I think they fall into the bucket of people that love to tell people how hard they work. It's not that they actually are doing these things. I bet he's a psycho when it comes to this stuff, but I also think he probably does more watching regular shows and hanging out with friends than he ever wants to let
on. You ever heard of those tests?
It's all a mirage. He just has to make it seem like he's working that hard.
Have you ever heard of those tests where it's like, if you can stay in this room that acoustically is pure, meaning there's no outside sound, and that people who if you try and spend a full day in there, you'll go insane by hour 20.
Yeah, I've seen the Instagram
photos. That, to me, is the equivalent of trying to spend any amount of time with any of these knobs. Like, so what are you doing? I'm texting like six guys in the Browns. Got to figure out if Shador, like, oh my God.
This is why I think Passan unfairly falls into this bucket, though, because Passan goes to concerts.
He's got three special rooms in his thing.
Stop it. The local kid, he's done good.
I don't think he's done a lot. I don't know if he's done good.
Come on now. I like Jeff. I'll stick up for Jeff Passan.
I don't know.
I would hang out with Jeff Passan.
I would watch my... No. Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Enough of that.
I don't know why Passan doesn't need my defense of him as hard as I gave it there. He really doesn't.
He won't get in one of those three special rooms.
Steph Curry reportedly searching his own name on Twitter during halftime for motivation. Is this, as you would say, charming or chotch? I'm going to repeat it one more time. I went really fast there. Steph Curry reportedly searches his own name on Twitter during halftime to use as motivation.
All right. This is worse than the Shams Charania thing.
I knew you wouldn't like this one.
Like, Steph, it might speak to how hard it is to stay motivated when you have a beautiful wife, three gorgeous kids. You come from NBA royalty because your dad was a really good NBA player for over a decade. You were beloved. You were one of the few NBA players that no one will say boo about in an era where the consensus favorite thing by NBA fans and NBA adjacent people is to complain about the people of this era.
I think he's the most white basketball player of the past 30 years.
It actually does make sense. It makes sense that he's like,
we hate him
what
here.
What am I even playing for anymore?
As an NBA fan base in general, I think.
It was always like I had to kind of fake hate Steph.
I know.
It was not with Draymond.
He's very, very likable.
It was not fake with Mr. Champagne Klay Thompson, but it was fake as hell with Steph. It's like, yeah, what a great family guy.
Can you imagine searching your own name at halftime of a game? Because you're like, I need to get better. I need to find that motivation somewhere.
You know me, 11 o'clock Wednesday nights on the Nick Wilson Experiment, we searched my name on Twitter.
Yeah.
And we asked, how is Nick Wilson doing? And the brand was almost always up.
Are you the most famous Nick Wilson at this point?
No.
Was it the guy from Survivor? Was that the one you're always up against?
There's a lot of them.
Was there a bodybuilder, I think, too, that was like really popular?
I probably was in the lower percentile of Nick Wilson's. Like it was not great.
When you pop Nick Wilson into the old Google search bar.
Easy.
Yep.
Somebody's father.
Whoa, Sex Dungeon pops up. What's going on here? Oh, wow. Yeah, we got a
special
lot,
place.
We got a lot of people that aren't you popping up right away.
Yeah.
The Kentucky State Representative, Nick Wilson.
Yeah, he's problematic, by the way. I would not search his tweets.
Scary eyes on this guy. Yeah. Like, he looks...
Yeah.
Sex Dungeon.
He's got a couple of them.
And there's no doubt.
By the way, Dungeon might be the upside, right?
I thought sex was the upside, but here we are.
Well, not for him. There's a guy that worked for the Salt Lake Tribune or some Utah-based, and he always got tweets from like that were meant for me.
Yeah.
And he would just crash out. He would just melt down like, why are you asking me about LeBron James? Because he was like a horticulture guy, expert that worked for the Salt Lake Tribune.
So the Arizona Wildcats running back, that's a big moment. The Survivor guy is still going pretty strong, all things considered.
People really go hard in the paint for him.
But yeah, because he turned into this. So he went from, did he go from Survivor into the Kentucky House of Representatives?
Oh, that is the same guy. Yes,
same guy.
Very
now.
Problematic.
Which
I would not...
Wild. He assumed office in 2023, and so he was on Survivor well before that. That's amazing. You turn into going on Survivor into being legitimately in the Kentucky House of Representatives?
I don't think that's much of an accomplishment. It's Kentucky.
No,
you just say you support inbreeding and you're going to get elected.
If you want me to tell you what's wrong with politics these days, this is where I would start.
Oh, you were saying it's a bad thing. Okay.
How does that happen? You're a contestant on a game show on TV. And having a political office? I mean, listen, it's worked in other spots before, clearly.
Yeah. Now, you think Kentucky's
wild.
Interesting. You should see what's going on in Washington these days.
I mean, this is wild. you're never going to beat that Nick Wilson.
Wouldn't want to. Nor the Dungeon. Is there a bad outcome for Shador tonight? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.